Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that powerful? Right? This, just to know that about God. Just to know that He's thinking about you. He's thinking about you. Somebody says, well, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of what He's thinking about me. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid about what He's thinking. He tells you right here. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And then He tells us what those thoughts are. Thoughts of peace and not evil things. And His thoughts are all about giving you a future and a hope. Yeah, God's got exciting things planned for you and I. He's got a destiny for us. Well, tonight I'm going to get into talking about your destiny by getting into the subject of predestination. Predestination. There is a doctrine of predestination. The Bible talks about predestination over in Romans, the 8th chapter, for one. We'll start there. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now, when we look up the word predestined here in Romans 8, in the original Greek language, we see it meaning to predetermine, decide beforehand, to appoint beforehand. So, has God predestined us? Well, we just read it. We just saw that He has predestined us. Verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So He has predestined us. He has predetermined some things. He has decided beforehand on some things concerning our future, concerning our destiny, concerning our lives. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. I mean, forget about before you were born, before the foundation of the world was laid. The Bible says He chose us. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. So here again, the Bible's telling us that we've been predestined, predestined. And then over in verses 11 and 12 in Ephesians. Ephesians 1 verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. So the Bible does teach about predestination and that we have been predestined. In other words, again, God has predetermined some things. There's some things that he has decided beforehand, even before the foundation of the world, well before you were ever born. He's already predetermined some things about your life. Well, there are a lot of people that have run off with this doctrine of predestination and just got it all messed up. And the Bible talks about subjects that are some things that are written in the Word of God that are difficult to understand. And the Bible talks about that over in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 15. This is the Apostle Peter writing, and he says, "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him," talking about the Apostle Paul, "according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." Well, I would say that the subject of predestination is just one of those subjects that you have to study it out. And you have to put things in context. And you have to take in the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation to understand it correctly. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that they get in there and they read a little bit about predestination. They don't get the whole picture. And then they start coming up with all kinds of doctrines that are very, very popular, that are widely taught and believed in many, many, many churches among many, 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 many Christians. And I believe that's why God's put it in my heart, has stirred me to just get into this subject, which I know we can't cover it all tonight because it's a big subject. We want to, you know, do it justice. We want to get in there and look at the scriptures, study it out. We want to have a clear understanding of this subject of predestination, because there's a lot of people that their doctrine of predestination causes them to believe that everything that will happen has already been decided by God and cannot be changed. They believe that everything that will happen has already been decided by God and cannot be changed, which means there's no real personal choices in anything. And we really don't have a free will, because God has already pre-programmed everything. He has already predetermined everything that we're going to do, that we should do. And there's no changing it. And that's where a lot of people are. A lot of people believe that way. They believe that that actually is what the Bible teaches, but it is error. It is a spirit of error. It is scripture that has been twisted. There's some folks that they have not been taught. They just got in there and they tried to learn it. And number one, they didn't let the Holy Spirit teach them. You know, the Bible talks about that. We just read that about untaught and unstable people. Untaught and unstable people. You know, you can't get into the Word of God and try to figure it out for yourself. It's something that needs to be taught. And the number one teacher of the Word of God is the Holy Spirit. He is called the teacher. So number one, we need to look to the Holy Spirit, and I think we can figure out Scripture. When we get in there and think we can figure it out, that's when we're going to start our own denomination. That's when we're going to start our own heresy. We're going to get off into, you know, some kind of doctrine. What we need to do, and that's why there's so much of that, because men have sat down, untaught by the Holy Spirit, and have gotten in there and have just made a mess of the Word of God. They've just twisted Scripture and gotten it all messed up. And this subject of predestination is one of those subjects that a lot of good-meaning people have gotten all messed up. You know, because you got people that are untaught that twist the Scriptures, and then they get up and then they teach people, And then those people think they're being taught accurately, and they don't study the scriptures out themselves. They don't get in there to find out whether these things are true or not. They don't look to the Holy Spirit to show them whether it's right or not. They just take what man says, and then they just pass it on to the next person, and on to the next person, and on it goes. And the error just spreads like spiritual poison in men's souls. And it messes their lives up. So we want to get in here. We want to understand it so that we understand God more fully. We understand that, yes, he has a plan for our life. He has a plan, and he has predestined us. In getting understanding on this subject, the place to start is with the things you already understand about God and about your destiny, about the plan of God for your life. Like we said already at the opening of this service, do you believe that God has a plan for your life? And everybody said, yes, amen, amen. Yes, God has a plan for my life. All right, let's think about that. Does that mean God has actually thought things out and put a plan together for your life? Yes, that would be true. If he has a plan for your life, then he knows the thoughts that he has for you. He thinks, right? God thinks. He has thoughts. He has put a plan in place for your life. So he has sat down and thought some things out. He's thought some things out concerning your life. So you believe he has a specific plan that he has thought through ahead of time for you. And before you were ever born, there's things he's already thought through for you, and he's put it together ahead of time. You all believe that? All right. So he pre-planned things for you. Yes? So he, in order to do that, he had to foreknow you before you ever got here. So do you believe he foreknew you before you ever got here? All right. Yeah, because we just read that, didn't we? So he knew you before you were born. So then he must have known you before you were born again. All right. So do you think his plan for a person who he knew would be born again would be different from his plan that he put together for the ones he knew wouldn't be born again? Because he knew you'd be born again. But how many of you know there's a lot of people that are not born again and they never will be born again? And he knows that too? So he has a plan for people who he knew would be born again. And he has a plan for people who he knows will not be born again. Is that true? How many people believe the plan that he would have for those who are born again would be different from the plans that he would sit down and put together for those that he knows ahead of time will not be born again? How many people believe that'd be a different plan? All right, let's look over at Romans chapter 9, verse 22. Now, this whole chapter, next week, next week or the week after, it just depends on how long this all takes. But we'll get into this whole chapter. We're going to break down this whole chapter of Romans 9, all right? Because it's a big one when it comes to the subject of predestination. But notice what it says here in Romans 9, 22. He says, what if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now notice it's talking about God's plans that he puts together based on his foreknowledge of what would happen. So he knows that there are those that are not going to believe in him. They're not going to accept him. They're not going to be born again. And here it refers to them as vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. Vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. Then he talks about vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. And that's us. We've been born again. We've made Jesus the Lord of our life. We've been prepared for glory. How many people believe you've been prepared for glory? That God's got a plan for you to bring you into great glory. He's got a heavenly plan for your life. Do you believe that? Well, does he have a destructive plan? Does he have a plan of destruction for those that he knows beforehand will not accept him as their Savior, not accept Jesus as their Savior? Does he have a plan of destruction for those that who will not believe in him? In other words, did he sit down and put a plan together? Put a plan together of destruction? Yes. Absolutely. See, this is where people get confused. But let's go into some of the foreknowledge of God, right? Let's go into some of that foreknowledge of God right now by just going over to the book of Revelation and look at some things that have not happened yet that God has told us is going to happen. Over here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great. Friend, this has not happened yet. This is in the future. We're getting a glimpse of the foreknowledge of God right here in the book of Revelation. John, the apostle, has been taken into the future. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, is that going to happen? Is that a part of the plan of God? Yes, it is. Has God planned this? He has already planned this. And he's letting you know what he already sees. Now, here it's very general. And I saw the dead. Doesn't give any names. How many people believe God knows the names of every person that's standing there? That will be standing there. He knows every one of them. He knows them now. Even the ones that haven't been born yet. They haven't been born yet. But yet they'll be standing there someday. On this day of judgment. They'll be standing before God. And they will be cast into the lake of fire. And who's casting them into the lake of fire? God is casting them into the lake of fire. It's his plan. It's a plan of destruction. I said it's a plan of destruction. You see, we got to understand that God is a God of preparation. He is never caught off guard without a plan. God always has a plan in place. He always has a plan in place. He is prepared concerning our future or concerning our destiny. He is prepared concerning your destiny. That basically sums up for me predestination. God is prepared for your destiny. He has got your future already prepared. Nothing catches him off guard. Which means what I'm saying there is God knows what you're going to do before you do it. And so he planned accordingly. He did not take away your free will to choose your destiny. We choose our destiny. But God knows ahead of time what we are going to choose, and he has prepared accordingly. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees ahead and provides. Literally is what that name Jehovah Jireh means. He sees ahead and he provides. In his foreknowledge, he knew what you were going to do. And he knows what you're going to do. And so he has already gone ahead and he has prepared. Because he's a very organized God. He's a very prepared God. God doesn't just react to things and in the spur of the moment go, oh, okay, wait, oh, ooh, ooh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Just hold on a second. Let's think here. What should we do at this point? He's already planned it out. Because that's just who he is. He's already sat down and thought about you. And he's already thought things through concerning you. And he's already worked things out for us. He's gone ahead, seen ahead, and provided for us. So he's prepared beforehand. In his response, or his responses to mankind's decisions and actions. But that does not take away man's free will to decide things. God just sees it ahead of time, saw it ahead of time, and he has prepared accordingly. Do you see how that does not eliminate your free will? That doesn't eliminate us making choices. Where God, he makes all the choices. He's already said, this is how it's going to go, and there's no changing it. No matter what you do, it's all the sovereignty of God, and what he says, what he's already predetermined, that's the way it's going to be, and you don't have a choice in the matter. No, you have a complete choice in what concerns your life. But what he has predetermined is the response to your decisions and your choices. He has prepared that ahead of time for you. So he knew ahead of time that you were going to love him. That you were going to believe in him. That you were going to put your trust in him. Over in Romans, the 8th chapter, like we just read. Let's go back to it. Romans 8, it's verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Stop there. Notice, whom he predestined, these he also called. Well, go back to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So who are those that are called? Those who love God. Those who love God. And then verse 30 tells us, whom he predestined, these he also called. What do you mean? He predestined those who he knew would love him. And they're the ones he called. So he has a calling for those he knew ahead of time would love him. And whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. So he's already seen ahead. And he has provided for those he knew ahead of time would love him. The ones that love him, the ones that believe in him, the ones that seek him, the ones that want to know him. He has already predestined them for glorious things. He's got glorious things ahead of us because he knew us. He knew us ahead of time. He's Jehovah Jireh. He has seen ahead and he has provided. He has already provided great things for you and I. Isn't that awesome? So in other words, you're turning to him. Did not surprise him. He already had things set in place for us. So he's ready for what's to come. He's prepared for what's to come in your future. But he works in our life in real time. In other words, in the now. In this very moment. He knows things ahead of time. But yet, he doesn't deal with us according to what he knows ahead of time. He deals with us according to our decisions that we make now. He doesn't get ahead of us and start dealing with us according to what we have not done yet, because he knows about it. So he knows about your future, but he doesn't deal with you with those plans concerning your future until you get to that place in your future. So he deals with you in the now and in the moment. And when you get to this place, he has a plan. And when you get to this place, he has a plan. But he doesn't get ahead of you with his plans. Like, for example, he doesn't look and say, okay, this guy is going to be the next Adolf Hitler. And he's going to be responsible for killing millions of people. I know that. So therefore, I'm going to go ahead, and before he can do that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to have him get killed at a young age. I mean, wouldn't that make sense? I mean, if you know this guy is going to kill a lot of people, he's going to cause a lot of problems. Wouldn't it be great if you just go ahead and just snuff him out before he can do it? Just go ahead and stop that thing before it actually is able to happen. God won't do that, because he does not respond to something that hasn't happened yet. He has a plan for when it does happen, but he doesn't respond to the problem until it happens. In other words, he doesn't answer a matter before it actually takes place, which agrees with the scriptures over in Proverbs chapter 18. It says, he who answers a matter before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. So before it actually happens, if God starts answering us before we actually ask, remember he said, you have not because you ask not. If he starts answering us before we even ask, then he would be violating his own word. He would be answering a matter before he actually has heard it, before it was actually asked. And that would be folly and shame. And it would be unjust of God to do that, because he would be eliminating, again, our right to make choices. So in his foreknowledge, he doesn't eliminate our right to make choices. We still have to make those choices, but predestination is just basically letting us know that it's okay. God has seen ahead and he has provided for everything that has happened. You know, a lot of times you'll hear people say, now God won't put on you any more than you can handle. How many of you have heard that little religious thing? Now God, well, you think that was in the Bible. God won't put on you any more than you can handle. There's no scripture that says that. But the Bible does tell us that God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear. And with the temptation, he will make a way of escape for you. So in other words, it's not God putting anything on you, first of all. God won't put on you any more than you can handle. You know, somebody's dying, somebody's in pain, somebody's lost a loved one. God won't put on you any more than you. God didn't put that on them. See, a lot of people just think, well, it's God's destiny. God decided this and he put this thing on you. No, God did not decide that and put this thing on you. There are decisions people make. People make decisions. That's why he said, whatever a man sows, that's what he also is going to reap. There is a cause and effect. There is sowing and reaping. There are decisions that we make. That's why he tells us over in Deuteronomy. He says, today I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. And then he says, choose life. Choose the blessing. He can't choose it for us. He sets it before us, but we have to choose it. We have to choose it. He wouldn't say choose if you didn't have a choice. If he was just going to decide beforehand, you're going to choose life. You're not going to choose life. You're going to choose curses and you're cursed. But you're going to choose life and blessing because I say so. And that's what people have done to the subject of predestination. They've put God in a situation where he's telling people what they're going to do. He's determined, predetermining their choices. He's not predetermining their choices. We make choices, and he, in his foreknowledge, has predetermined a way of escape when we made bad decisions and bad choices. He's made a way of escape, and he has prepared and set up all kinds of blessings for us as we obey him. And he knew beforehand you were going to obey him, so he's already got some things cooking for you. Isn't that nice? He's got things cooking for you in the future because of the obedience that you're going to perform in the future. So he's already got a lot of blessings set up for us. But he's not the one making the choice. We make the choice. He's got thoughts. He has plans. He has laid these things out for us. And then it's like this. It's like God made these plans, wrote them all down, you know. The Bible talks about books. Then we just see that in the book of Revelation, that the books were opened. People were judged according to their works. What do you think the books were? The books about these people's lives. Everybody's got a book. Everything you do in life is written in the book. And they're going to be, and their lives are going to be played out before the throne of God. And we're going to go through everything. And people are going to be judged based on their works. And so people have these books. And so God has these plans. He knows the thoughts that I have for you. So he's got these plans. And in these books, God's has written down his plans. His plans for people. He's made ways of escape for people. And he has set things up for people. But then after putting the plans together, God puts them out of his sight and no longer deals with us according to his foreknowledge, but deals with us in the here and now. And you have to understand that about God. God's not dealing with you according to what he knows will be, because what he knows will be is not what he knows right now, because he put that out of his mind. He doesn't know that. There's things God does not know about you. Did you know that? There's things God does not know about your life. Now you're all getting concerned. But is it scriptural? Yes. How many people know God does not know the sins you've committed in the past? Did you commit sin? Shh, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Remember what he said over in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. He said, "For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." God doesn't remember. There's things he... Is the scriptures literal? Are we to believe God when he says he will not remember something? Yes. He said, "I will not remember." So that means there's things about your life he doesn't know. I don't remember. If you asked him, he'd say, "I don't remember." In other words, I don't know. There's things he doesn't know about your past. So maybe if he's able to not remember or know things that he knew about your past, maybe he's able to also not know things concerning your future that he knows. He knows, but he doesn't know. Just like he put your sins out of his mind, he put his plans that he has concerning your future out of his mind and deals with you in the moment. Is that possible? Well, do we have scripture? That's the big thing. Do we have scripture, or is the pastor just going off somewhere? No. Thank God he's a very scriptural person. This is some pretty cool stuff right here. You're going to learn about God. Let's go to Mark chapter 13. How many people know the Godhead is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Right? That's the Godhead. That's God. Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Notice here in Mark chapter 13 and in verse 32, Jesus was talking about the future. He was talking about the human race and things that are to come in the plans of God. And notice what he says. He says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, how many people know the Son, Jesus, is just as much as God as the Father? But here, Jesus, God the Son, does not know concerning things in the future. He's in the realm of time. And he's working with mankind in the realm of time. And he's God. Now, God the Father, he's got the plans. But God the Son doesn't know the plan. Doesn't know all the plans. He just told us that, didn't he? He doesn't know. Angels don't know. People think angels know everything. Angels, they don't know everything. There's things that we know that they desire to look into, that they desire to understand and know. And we see that in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering, talking about the Old Testament prophets. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. So here in Mark, it says, man, there's things concerning the future and your life and things that are to come. The angels don't know anything about it. Here it tells us in Peter, the angels, man, they desire to look into these things. So angels don't know everything. The Son, God the Son, he doesn't know everything. He just told you that. And over in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus made this statement. He said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So he's like, he's looking for the Father to reveal what's the next thing in the plan. We're talking about Jesus, God the Son. He's looking to the Father to reveal the next thing in the plan. Because he doesn't know. Why? Because he's operating with men in the realm of time. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. The Father's going to show me even greater things, Jesus is saying. So the Father needs to show these things that are in his plan. And Jesus over here operating in the realm of time is getting them as the Father reveals it. As he's moving along in the plan with man, he's getting revelation of what's next because the Father has already seen ahead and provided. That's what it means. He has predestined us. He's already prepared and ready for our future, for our destiny. Well, you say, well, now Jesus, he's ascended into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. But when Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent us the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that is here working in real time with you and I moment by moment. Does the Holy Spirit know everything about you? Does he know all the plans concerning your future? Does he know what you're going to do tomorrow? Does he know what you're going to do next year? Does the Holy Spirit know? How many would like to know? The answer is no. Because he is just like Jesus was when Jesus was here on the earth. He doesn't know everything. Just like Jesus looked to the Father, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing now. Notice here in John chapter 16, Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit when he comes. He said in verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that'll be after I leave, the Holy Spirit will come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority of what he knows, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. So he'll tell you things to come when he hears about it himself. Because Jesus said, he's not going to speak on his own authority. He's going to wait to hear what's next. So think about this. The Holy Spirit is here with us, working with us in the realm of time. And so he's responding to us according to the decisions and the actions that we make and take now. Not according to what he knows we're going to do tomorrow, because he doesn't maybe know what you're going to do tomorrow. He only knows what is revealed to him from the Father, from what he hears. He's listening for the next thing, the master plan. And then we listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals and leads and guides us according to the Father, who already saw ahead of time what was going to happen and what we could do. So God, the Holy Spirit, who's with us right now, doesn't know everything all the time. And he's made himself that way. He's made himself that way so that he doesn't respond to us before we actually do the things that the Father already knows we're going to do. So the same wisdom that God gave me years ago when I was saying, Lord, I need to know about something. I need to know about this. I need to know about this. And he said to me, do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know when you need to know it. That's exactly how the Holy Spirit works, because he's operating over here in the realm of time, not outside of time, knowing everything that is going to happen. So now is important. Faith is now. God is a God of faith. Being in the realm of time, we're operating according to the laws of faith. And faith is now. Faith is not the past. Faith is not in the future. Faith believes now. It's in the now. We see that over in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God, the plan of God, is revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's faith to faith. Things are revealed. Things are revealed. Faith to faith. It's not all up front. God's not out here way ahead of us reacting to things that we haven't even done yet. He's responding to where we are in the here and now, and what we're saying and what we're doing now. That's why it's important. What you say now is important. What you do now is important. And the Holy Spirit, connected to the Father, will reveal to us what we need to know, when we need to know it, as we yield to him. I remember when I had just gotten saved. I was newly born again. Had this little ice cream cafe in New York. And there was this nice couple, an older couple. And they would come every week. They would come to the cafe and they'd sit down and they would eat. They were just very sweet people. And they never said anything about the Lord. And we probably knew them for about a year. And then I got saved. I got born again. I was so fired up. And they found out about it. I said something. And as soon as they heard that I was saved, then they wanted to evangelize me. I was already saved. Now they wanted to evangelize me. And they had this belief that God has already predetermined everything and that there's nothing you can do about it. So they start sharing with me their doctrine of predestination. And they start telling me about this doctrine of predestination. And I just know instinctively, this is not right. I don't know much. I'm brand new. I'm newly saved. You know, the devil's already sending these, doctrines of demons to me. Sweet people, but doctrines of demons. And so they start sharing this with me. And then, I'll never forget, then the one lady, she said, yes, and when we leave here today, we're going to go to the mental institute, this hospital for mental patients. She said, we're going to go to the hospital. She said, because one of the young men that was, he had just given his life to the Lord and he was in our Bible study. And we were sharing with him about predestination and things. And he just couldn't handle it. And he had like a breakdown, and now he's having mental problems in the hospital. But you see, God's the one that did that. And you can tell she's confused. God actually did that. God's got this man in the mental asylum because that was his plan for the man, that the man would hear about predestination and go crazy and think, my God, I'm a robot. I can't control anything. He thought about it too much, And he blew a gasket. You know, you think about it too much, you could blow a gasket. So he blew a gasket. Things are leaking all over the place. And they're going to go visit him. Wonderful. That was the first time I heard about predestination. I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. You know, some things just listen to your heart, first of all. God, the Holy Spirit will go, that ain't right. You know, he'll give you a conviction on the inside. And again, to believe that God has just predestined everything where, in other words, removing your ability to make decisions, make choices, that he's already made the choices for you, that contradicts so much of the Bible. Every book of the Bible, including the book of Romans, where it talks a lot about predestination. It totally contradicts that. But it's like people just get tunnel vision, and they forget about the whole counsel of God, and they say, yeah, but look what it says, so this must be what it means. And people just throw out all other clear thinking and embrace some crazy doctrines that can cause people to go crazy. But thank God we know the truth. Yes, there is a doctrine of predestination. No, God has not eliminated your free will and makes all your decisions for you. His plans for you are awesome plans, things that he has prepared for you according to his foreknowledge of knowing that you would love him, follow him, and seek him. And in his foreknowledge, he has made ways of escape for us, and he has provided things for us if we'll turn to him and listen to him. Somebody say, I have a destiny. God has an amazing plan for my life. I am one of those who love him, have chosen him, and will continue to choose him. I will continue to follow him and thus fulfill every phase of every plan that he has for me. I'm going to fulfill God's divine destiny for my life. I am a vessel of mercy, prepared for glory. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.